Welcome to Your Rancher Radio, the podcast. Jim Watkins here. It's always good to have you here. And we're going to be talking about something I think everybody can relate to. The dynamic relationship of man and woman and marriage and its purpose and function in society on a world like ours. And we're going to address some contemporary issues in this podcast, because it's hard to know. Ever since I was young, there's always been, at least that I've recognized, a fight for women's rights in the modern world. And there has never been a time in my life where I have not been aware of people talking about that in the public square. But my wife and I were having a discussion recently about the emergence of women and the Me Too movement. And it seems these days the trend is that women have always been oppressed by men, and that true equality has never been achieved, which is why women are asserting their rights now more than ever. For most of my life, as I mentioned, I've heard this call for women's rights and liberties, and I am a champion of those rights. But sometimes it seems that society seems to underscore the importance of marriage and its contribution to life and to society. The Urantia book dedicates 3 complete chapters to marriage and the relationship of men and women as it pertains to society, and more especially progressive society. I would highly recommend reading it if you have time, papers 83, 84, and 85. It may ease some of your tensions if you are one who is concerned about rights and the role that marriage plays in society, and it may actually help you appreciate how far we have in fact come. Here are some highlights I'd like to give you for consideration. These are some of my favorite passages, and I'll just read them through from papers 83 through 85 because they're all relevant, and they may each mean something different to each of the listeners of this podcast, which is why I read them. So from paper 83, we'll start there and just move through. It is because of the sex urge that selfish men is lured into making something better than an animal out of himself. The self-regarding and self-gratifying sex relationship entails the certain consequence of self-denial and ensures the assumption of altruistic duties and numerous race-benefiting home responsibilities. Herein has sex been the unrecognized and unsuspected civilizer of the savage, for this same-sex impulse automatically and unerringly compels man to think and eventually leads him to love. The human family is a distinctly human institution, an evolutionary development. Marriage is an institution of society, not a department of the church. True, religion should mightily influence it, but it should not undertake exclusively to control and regulate it. There is an ideal of marriage on the spheres on high, on the capital of each local system. The material sons and the daughters of God do portray the height of the ideals of the union of man and woman in the bonds of marriage and for the purpose of procreating and rearing offspring. After all, the ideal mortal marriage is humanly sacred. And from 83, section 8.6, marriage has always been and is still man's supreme dream of temporal idealty. Though this beautiful dream is seldom realized in its entirety, it endures as a glorious ideal, ever luring progressing mankind onto greater strivings for human happiness. Moving on through papers 84, the modern idea of sex equality is beautiful and worthy of an expanding civilization, but it is not found in nature. When might is right, man lords it over women. When more justice, peace, and fairness prevail, she gradually emerges from slavery and obscurity. Women's social position has generally varied inversely with the degree of militarism in any nation or age. From 84, we also learn, but man did not consciously nor intentionally seize women's rights and then gradually and grudgingly give them back to her. All this was an unconscious and unplanned episode of social evolution. When the time really came for woman to enjoy added rights, she got them, and all quite regardless of man's conscious attitude. The early Chinese and the Greeks treated women better than most surrounding peoples. but the Hebrews were exceedingly distrustful of them. In the Occident, women had had a difficult climb under the Pauline doctrines, which became attached to Christianity. Although Christianity did advance the mores by imposing more stringent sex obligations upon man, woman's estate is little short of hopeless under the peculiar degradation which attaches to her in Mohammedism, and she fares even worse under the teachings of several other Oriental religions. Science, not religion, really emancipated woman. It was the modern factory which largely set her free from the confines of the home. Man's physical abilities became no longer a vital essential in the new maintenance mechanism. Science so changed the conditions of living that manpower was no longer so superior to woman power. Continuing on through paper 84, section 5, those changes that have tended towards woman's liberation from domestic slavery and have brought about such a modification of her status, she now enjoys a degree of personal liberty and sex determination that practically equals man's. Once a woman's value consisted in her food-producing ability, but invention and wealth have enabled her to create a world in which to function, spheres of grace and charm. Thus has industry won its unconscious and unintended fight for women's social and economic emancipation. And again has evolution succeeded in doing what even revelation failed to accomplish. In the ideals of pair marriage, woman has finally won recognition, dignity, independence, equality, and education. But will she prove worthy of all of this unprecedented accomplishment? Will modern woman respond to this great achievement of social liberation with idleness, indifference, barrenness, and infidelity? Today in the 20th century, woman is undergoing the crucial test of her long world existence. Also from paper 84, woman is man's equal partner in race reproduction, hence just as important in the unfolding of racial evolution. Therefore has evolution increasingly worked towards the realization of woman's rights. But woman's rights are by no means men's rights. Women cannot thrive on men's rights any more than man can prosper on woman's rights. Each sex has its own distinctive sphere of existence, together with its own rights within that sphere. If woman aspires literally to enjoy all of man's rights, then sooner or later, pitiless and emotionless competition will certainly replace that chivalry and special consideration which many women now enjoy, and which they have so recently won from men. Civilization can never obliterate the behavior between the sexes, the behavior gulf between the sexes. Each sex will always have its own special sphere, albeit they will ever and anon overlap. Only socially will men and women compete on equal terms. So those are just a few of the thoughts that are sprinkled about, and there's so much more in this particular paper 83, 84, and 85. And I think the one takeaway that I had is that the purpose of marriage in society is the foundation of civilization, which is the family. And it is there and through the hardships of marriage and love and the raising of children, those are really when the character traits of the individual are really carved out. And I think that's always been and always will be the importance of marriage and that institution that men and women participate in. And when in society we devalue that, then we're actually putting our own civilization in jeopardy. And we see that through children who grow up in broken homes, and their ideas of functioning in life are deeply affected by these poor marriage structures, poor family structures. We see it all the time, and we know that it's true. So in my assertion of these quotes, I hope that I've relayed to you that the Urantia book remains even today contemporary in its position on marriage and its importance to society. And I thought it'd be an interesting, worthy of discussion on this time up on Urantia Radio. If you've got a comment or if you've got a suggestion of a topic you'd like to see addressed here on this podcast, let us know. Our email is simple, yourranchabookradio@gmail.com, yourranchabookradio@gmail.com. Join us online anytime, yourrancheradio.net. And until next time, thanks for joining us on Your Rancher Radio, the podcast.